For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Yeah, I believe it's March 19th. This is a shiur, which is, of course, relevant to what we're all dealing with. The topic of the shiur is Chevle Mashiach, which can be translated as the birth pangs of Mashiach, but we'll see that there's other ways of dealing with it as well. So the concept of Chevle Mashiach is all over Chazal, it's in the Gemara, it's in the Medrash, and we'll begin with a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk is in Yeshaya, Perek Vav, pasuk Yud Gimel. Chapter 6, verse 13, the pasuk says, "Va'od ba Assyria v'shava v'hisala v'er," and there'll be only 1/10 remaining, and then those will be they'll be subject to all kinds of troubles as well. So the Gemara says in Maseches Ksubos, at the end of Maseches Ksubos, on Daf Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, that's 112b. The Gemara over here says, Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, Dor Sheben David Ba, the generation that Mashiach comes, Kategoria B'Talmidei Chachamim. There'll be attacks against the Talmidei Chachamim, against the Torah scholars. Kiamrisa Kamidei Shmuel, when this was said before Shmuel, Amar, he said, Siruf Achar Siruf, which literally means purification after purification, meaning that there'll be only fewer and fewer remaining. Shenemar, and then this pasuk that we just read is quoted, Vod ba'asiriya b'shava v'hisala v'er. Sounds like the Gemara is saying that this pasuk is particularly talking about the Talmidei Chachamim, that in the generation of Mashiach, that they will become fewer and fewer, and it seems that it will be through, unfortunately, tragic means, that they'll be weeded out further and further and further. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Ksubos, based on that pasuk in Yeshaya. So Rashi tells us in Maseches Shabbos, when the Gemara mentions Chevlo Shel Mashiach, when it mentions that phrase, Rashi references this Gemara in Maseches Ksubos. It sounds like Rashi is saying that at least a definition, if not the definition of Chevle Mashiach, is this attack against Talmidei Chachamim, against Torah scholars, and the weeding out and weeding out and further weeding out of the Talmidei Chachamim. And again, it appears to be through tragic means. So that is at least our starting point for Chevle Mashiach. Now, before I go any further, it's important to recognize some very important things about what we're going through and the coming of Mashiach. Whenever there is, God forbid, tragedy or terrible things going on in the world, people look for Mashiach, which is a reasonable thing to do because we're aware that before Mashiach comes, there are going to be upheavals and things are going to happen. And we just read about Chevle Mashiach and that there can be some terrible things that will happen before Mashiach comes. But it's very important not to decide in one's mind, well, for sure Mashiach is coming. We don't know. Perhaps yes, perhaps no. Perhaps it's a possibility. We don't know where we stand with Mashiach. There's a famous incident with Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zichrono Livracha, when he was living in Toronto, that there was a shopkeeper, a store owner, who had been convinced that he was not, the store owner was not Shomer Shabbos, and he was convinced that he should close his store for Shabbos, he should stop keeping his store open on Shabbos, because Mashiach is coming. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky famously went to the store owner and told him that it's definitely a good thing that he closes his store for Shabbos, but he should not believe that Mashiach is imminently coming. So apparently the store owner evidently stopped keeping his door closed on Shabbos because he no longer had the incentive of thinking that Mashiach was imminently about to come. So Rav Yaakov was questioned, why did he stop the store owner? He could have, the store, it would have been a wonderful thing for the store owner to continue to close his shop for Shabbos. And Rav Yaakov said that actually it's much better this way. Of course, we want him to stop being Mechal Shabbos. We don't want him to have a store open on Shabbos. However, at least now this man believes in the coming of Mashiach, which is essential for every Jew to believe. And even if he's not keeping Shabbos, but at least he believes the Mashiach is coming, which is one of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. It's one of the 13 fundamental articles of faith that we all have to believe. If he starts to close his store on Shabbos and the Mashiach does not come, then this man will no longer believe in the coming of Mashiach. And that would be worse. So it's critical that one does not get caught up and start to believe or start to perhaps there are things being said. Mashiach is definitely coming. For sure he's around the corner. We hope, but that's not necessarily the case. We have to deal with this situation irrespective of whether Mashiach is imminently here or not. Nevertheless, it is common and appropriate that when we have situations like this, people are going to think about Mashiach. So we have this concept of Chevlo Shel Mashiach, the troubles that will come before Mashiach arrives. And we already described one of them, which is this weeding out and apparently diminishing of Talmidei Chacham of Torah scholars, again, in a tragic way. Now, what does the word Chevlo Shel Mashiach mean? What does that word mean? So the translation that most people use is the birth pangs of Mashiach, like a woman giving birth. And just as a child being born, there's labor pains and it's not an easy process. So to speak, the birth of Mashiach, the coming of the Mashiach requires birth pangs. And that translation comes from Rashi in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, Amud Aleph, 118a, that's what Rashi says, that's what the word Chevlo Shel Mashiach means. It means the birth pangs of Mashiach. Rashi in Sanhedrin, on Sadi Ches, Amud Beis 98b, Rashi there has two other possible translations for the word Chevel or Chevle Mashiach. One is Gorolo Shel Mashiach. The word Gorol can mean a lottery, as you know from Purim, but it also means a chelek, a portion, meaning the time of Mashiach, the portion of Mashiach involves these difficult times, these difficult issues that are going to happen. And then we also have the Rashi says, Pechadim v'chavalim sheyil biyamav mechel ha'akum, the fear and the trembling that will happen in his times because of what the non-Jews are going to do. So there is also that translation of the word Hevel of Chevlei Mashiach. How does one avoid Chevlei Mashiach? We may be going through it right now. We don't know if this is Chevlei Mashiach. And no one wants to go through Chevlei Mashiach. It's scary. How does one avoid it? So we spoke about this really, I think with all of you, I think in all of my shiurim, I brought this up already in the past week, but I'll reiterate it here. And that is that there's no getaway car for Chevlei Mashiach. One cannot prepare their passport and airline tickets, etc., to run away to avoid Chevlei Mashiach. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And a person who's going to be in it is going to be in it. And one cannot run away from it. We see in front of our eyes as borders are closing and planes are being grounded, that sort of plan, if this is in fact Chevlei Mashiach, that sort of plan is not going to work. The Gemara in two different places discusses how to be nitzol mechevlei Mashiach, how to be saved from Chevlei Mashiach. And the Gemara says two things. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in Sadi Ches on 98, the Gemara says, this is going to sound so obvious that it's going to be a little bit difficult to understand how it works. Yasuk b'Torah u'b'gemilus chasadim. One should be involved in Torah and kindness, acts of kindness. That saves a person from Chevlei Mashiach. I mean, that saves a person from virtually everything. But it saves a person specifically from Chevlei Mashiach. the Gemara also says, really rather shockingly, in Shabbos on Kuf Yud Ches on 118, the Gemara says that one is saved from Chevle Mashiach by having Shalosh Sudos B'Shabbos, having three meals on Shabbos. Now, you should just be careful before you jump to conclusions. This does not mean one who has Shalosh Sudos. Shalosh Sudos is the third of three meals, but one has to have all three meals properly in order to fulfill what the Gemara is saying. So one would have to meet the requirements of the three meals. And there are requirements. It doesn't just happen by itself. A person would need to understand how to do that, which could perhaps be another shir. But it is a little surprising. All I got to do is eat Shalosh Sudos. I mean, it sounds pretty easy. Just eat three good meals on Shabbos, and I'm scot-free. I'm not going to be subject to Chevlei Mashiach. So we'll get back to that Mirz Hashem later. But before we discuss specifically how to get out of Chevlei Mashiach, it's important to note that throughout the Gemara, particularly in Sanhedrin and in Maseches Sota, but other places as well, the Gemara discusses many terrible things that will happen in the generation of the coming of Mashiach. Many, many things. I'm going to read you off a whole bunch of them so you get a sense of it. It's not a pleasant list. I'm warning you in advance. And also you should know that many of the Tanaim and the Amoraim, many of the sages of the Gemara say, Yaisi v'lo ichmine, which means he should come, Mashiach should come, but I don't want to see him. I don't want to be there. I don't want it to happen in my generation, which is a shocking thing to say, because we say that he should come, b'mehar v'yameinu, he should come in our days, speedily in our days. But many of the sages of the Gemara, because of Chevlo Shel Mashiach, because of all the terrible things that will happen in the generation of the coming of Mashiach, they say better that I should miss it, which is a very, very surprising. Now that's offset by other statements of Tanaim and Amoraim who say, I really want to be there. But still, that should give us pause in understanding just how much of an upheaval there will be before the coming of Mashiach. So let me read you off some of the things that would happen. So the Gemara says, Tamidei Chachamim Mismatim, that the Torah scholars will be diminished, the Hashar and the rest of them, I'm not sure if it means the rest of the Tamidei Chachamim or if it means the rest of the people, Einehem Kolos B'Yagon V'Anacha, their eyes will be in sorrow and in groaning. The Gemara says Beis Havadia Liznus, which means that the Beis Medrash will turn into a place of promiscuity. Yirechet Yimasu says those who fear sin will be detested, meaning that by society will detest those who fear sin. Pnei Hador Kifnei Hakelav, the face of the generation is like the face of a dog. V'ha'emes Nederes, and truth is gone. There's no truth. There's nobody telling the truth. There's no sense of truth in the world. Na'arm Yalbinu Pnei Zekanim, the younger people will shame the face of the older people. It says Ha'azus Tarbet, there'll be incredible brazenness. Hagefen Yitain Pirio V'ayayin Biyoker, the vine will give its fruit, means there'll be an abundance of grapes, and yet hayayin biyoker, and yet wine will be expensive, which means, as Rashi says, people will be so indulgent that even though there'll be plenty of physical pleasures in the world, it'll still be very expensive because the demand will be so high. The Gemara says, Ein men David ba, that Mashiach will not come, ashetich laputo min hakis, until there's no more money left in people's purses. It says that Mashiach will not come, ad shniyasiyashu min agula, people will give up hope that Mashiach is coming. It'll be that bad that people say, oh, there's no way he's going to come. It's just terrible already. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says in Zechariah, ein shalom min hatzar. There's no peace from the troubles, from the difficulties we're going to go through. And the Gemara says about that, even Talmidei Chacham, even Torah scholars, that it says about them, Shalom, as we know, Shalom Rav Lo'avei Sarah Secha, the Pasuk says that there's great peace for those who love your Torah. So even though Talmidei Chacham, Marvim Shalom Ba'olam, they increase peace in the world, nevertheless, even they will be subject to all of the troubles that are going to happen in the time of the coming of Mashiach. The Gemara says, Im ra'isa dor shemismayet v'holech, if you see a generation that's getting smaller and getting worse, chakelo, wait for Mashiach, because that's an indication Mashiach is about to come. Im ra'isa dor shetzaros rabos ba'os olav, if you see a generation that there's many troubles coming upon it, chakelo, wait for Mashiach. Again, v'ikvas Mashiach chutzpah yiska, there's going to be a lot of chutzpah, a lot of, again, we said brazenness, a lot of chutzpah that's going to happen in the days of Mashiach. So all these terrible things that are going to happen in the generation before Mashiach comes. How much of these are included in the phrase Chevlo Shel Mashiach? Not sure. Certainly we have the concept of the Talmidei Chachamim diminishing, but how much of it besides that is included, it's unclear to me how much of it is and isn't, but it is clear that the generation of the coming of Mashiach is not an easy generation to live in. It's a tough one. And if we are in it, and we may be in it, so then we are experiencing that which is already predicted in the Gemara that will happen prior to the coming of Mashiach. Which leads us to the main point of this shir, which is, why is there Chevlei Mashiach? If we are in fact living through it, we want to understand it. Why is it? Why do we need to go through such terrible things before Mashiach comes? Mashiach seems to be a wonderful thing. We want Mashiach to be here. We say he should come b'mehera v'yomeinu. In our generation, we want to be there for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So why does it have to be so bad? Why so terrible? What's the need? And it seems to me there are three approaches to this. All three are correct. They're not contradictory. All three are true. There may be more answers to this question, but I'm going to suggest three of them to you based on the Gemara. And it seems to me that all three of these reasons are relevant to us today with our current crisis, irrespective of whether or not this is Chevlei Mashiach. Meaning, if it is Chevlei Mashiach, then clearly this is relevant. But even if it's not Chevlei Mashiach, you'll see that these are still extremely relevant to us. Not just the lessons learned, but what we should do and how we should focus ourselves in dealing with Chevlei Mashiach. The first approach is based on a pasuk in Habakkuk, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Gimel, it's chapter 2, verse 3. The pasuk tells us in Habakkuk, Ki or chazon lamoed, that there'll be prophecies, v'yafeach laketz v'lo yechazev, there'll be, the ketz will happen, meaning the end of days, which means the coming of Mashiach will happen. And it's not a lie, it will certainly happen. Im yismama, if he tarries, if he delays, if Mashiach doesn't come so quickly, chakelo, wait for him. Those Gemaras that we said before that mentioned this phrase, chakelo, wait for him, it comes from here in Habakkuk. Wait for him. Kivo yavo, for he will certainly come, v'lo yacher, he will not delay. When the time comes, he will arrive. And he will arrive when he is supposed to, and he will not delay at that time. So you should wait for him. That's what the Gemara says, that's what the Pasuk says, about waiting for Mashiach. Now listen to this Gemara in Sanhedrin, on side the Zion of Abayz 97b. Listen to this Gemara. I'm not going to be able to explain it fully because I don't myself understand it fully, but we will all be able to get a significant thing out of this Gemara. Listen to what it says. The Gemara says, quoting this Pasuk, the Gemara says, Chakelo, you need to wait for Mashiach. No matter what, no matter what happens, wait for him. Anticipate his coming. The Gemara says, Shema Tomar, lest you say, Anu Mechakim, we're waiting, V'hu Eino Mechaka, but he, Hashem, is not waiting. Maybe it's not important to Hashem, he's not waiting. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Pasuk says, L'chein Yechake Hashem L'chananchem. Hashem is waiting to do great things for you. Hashem is waiting as well. We're all waiting. We're waiting. Hashem is kiviyachol, so to speak, waiting. So the Gemara then says, v'chimeacher sh'anu mechakim, v'hu mechake, well, if Hashem is waiting, and we're waiting, mi ma'akev, so what's stopping Mashiach from coming. We want him to come. Hashem wants him to come. So where is he? Why isn't he here? So the Gemara says, Midas Hadin Ma'akeves. The attribute of judgment is holding back, which means that evidently we don't deserve it yet. It's not time yet. And that's because of the Midas Hadin that there is a reckoning. And unfortunately, we have not arrived yet at a point where we deserve for Mashiach to come. The Gemara then says, so then, so if in fact the attribute of judgment is holding us back from Mashiach, anu lama mechakin, then why are we waiting? It's not happening anyway. Why are we waiting if the Midas Hadin, if the attribute of judgment is holding back Mashiach, if he's not going to come, why are we waiting? Says the Gemara, lekabel sachar, to receive reward. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, ashrei kolchoche lo, fortunate are though all those who wait for him. The Gemara is telling us that waiting for Mashiach is a mitzvah in and of itself. We know this anyway, that we know that one of the questions we're going to be asked after 120 years is Sipisa li Yeshua. Did you hope for salvation? Which means, were you waiting for Mashiach? We are supposed to be waiting for Mashiach. There are generations and generations and generations of Jews who preceded us who waited for Mashiach, and Mashiach did not come in their generation. Was that waiting a waste? Was it a waste of effort, a waste of time, a waste of focus? The answer is no. It was a mitzvah for them to wait. Fortunate. Ashrei kol chochei lo. Fortunate are all those who wait for him. We should be waiting for Mashiach. That is an important thing to do, is to wait for Mashiach. What does it mean to wait for Mashiach? You know, sometimes you hear stories of people, God forbid, that they have a relative, a close relative, who is being held against their will, perhaps in a foreign country, and the relatives are trying to get that person out, and perhaps they're petitioning the government here, petitioning the government there, getting people to sign petitions, perhaps getting pressure put, diplomatic pressure, all kinds of things to try to get the person out. And they're waiting, 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 and they're waiting. It can take years. And of course, it's an incredible celebration when a person finally gets out. But the family that is waiting, if they know that their relative is alive and that he eventually will get out, then they never stop waiting. And they're never really settled in their lives. No matter what's going on in their lives, a part of them is always thinking about that relative that's stuck, and we're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And that's the way we're supposed to be waiting for Mashiach. We're supposed to be waiting for Mashiach all the time. We're never supposed to be in a situation where we're not thinking about the coming of Mashiach, where we're totally settled, we feel good about ourselves, we feel good about the environment we're in, we feel good about where we are in life. Everything is great. Everything is wonderful. Everything's settled. Everything's just clicking. All cylinders are go. At this point in my life, everything's great. Yes, but there always has to be that sense that something is missing. It's not great. It's almost great, but there's something missing because we're waiting, and that relative isn't here. Mashiach isn't here. That one who we are waiting for and waiting for and waiting for is not here. And the truth is, it's not Mashiach so much that we're waiting for, it's really we're waiting for getting close to Hashem. Because the distance from Hashem is Golos. Golos is being distanced from Hashem. And as close as we sometimes may feel to Hashem, we really are quite distant. And that sense of just waiting for getting close to Hashem has to be something that's on our minds all the time. Therefore, what is one of the goals of Chevle Mashiach? It is to get us to really want and wait for Mashiach. Because when life is so good, when life is pleasant, when life is wonderful, and believe me, I want that as much as all of you want that. But when that is the case, it's much more difficult to wait for Mashiach. And when life, God forbid, is difficult, it's much easier to really, really want Mashiach. And that's a significant thing. And one of the reasons for Chevlei Mashiach is to bring out the point that we really need Mashiach to come. We really need to be close to Hashem. And so that is one of the reasons for Chevlei Mashiach. A suggestion. A second reason for Chevlei Mashiach. The Pasuk tells us in Yirmiyahu, this reason is going to surprise everybody. Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, it's in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Vav, chapter 30, verse 6. Shaluna uru'u, ask now and see, im yoled zachar, does a male give birth? Males don't give birth. Madua ra'isi kol gevra yadav al chalatzav kayoleda. Why have I seen every man, his hands on his sides, like one who is giving birth? V'nevchu chol panim v'yerakon, and their faces are turned in a pale color. Why are they so in such trouble? Why do they look like they're in such pain? Males don't give birth. That's the way Yirmiyahu phrases it, because he's talking about some terrible things going on and how the people look like they're in the pain of a woman giving birth. And the next pasuk talks about the coming of Mashiach. Says how Hashem is going to break the yoke of the shibud, of the servitude that we're in, or break it off of our neck, and that Hashem is going to take us back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara tells us a fascinating thing about this pasuk. The Gemara says, again in Sanhedrin, now we're on Sadiches 98b, the Gemara says about this pasuk, what does it mean? The Gemara says, this pasuk is actually talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem himself, kiviyachol, so to speak. That Hashem is, so to speak, in pain when bringing Mashiach. Why would Hashem be in pain when bringing Mashiach? So the Gemara says, Sha'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem says, Halalu ma'aseh yadai, Vehalalu ma'aseyadai. These, the Jews, are the work of my hand, and these, the non-Jews, are the work of my hand. Heich eved elu mipnei elu. How could I destroy one for the sake of the other? Shaken. Hashem is saying, in order to bring Mashiach, I'm going to have to destroy those who are subjugating the Jews. But how could I do that? They're also the work of my hand. It's shocking. Says Rashi, listen to this. Kisherotz hashor, when the bull is running, v'nafal, and he falls, mamidim sus b'mekomo be'ivuso. So they put a horse in his place, in his trough. Mashaluhaya rotza lasos kodem mapalaso shalshar. They didn't want to do that before the bull fell. The bull was the preferred animal, preferred beast of burden. But when the bull fell and was no longer able to do its job, then the owner had to replace him with a horse, which is not optimal. Shayachadav alav shoro biyoser, because he really liked his bull a lot. When the bull got better, hayom olamachar, today or tomorrow, mima palaso, from his falling, kasha lo lahotzi suso, it's difficult for the owner to replace the horse, mipnei hashar, because of the bull, la'achar shemido sham, after he put the horse in the bull's place. The horse is the second string player. But it's difficult. Once that person, that second string player is in place, it's difficult to replace the second stringer with the first stringer who's back in action now. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem, so to speak. Kivan Shera Mapalasan Shel Yisrael, once he saw the fall of the Jews, meaning because we sinned, nosing gdulaso la'ovdei kochavim, he gives his greatness to the non-Jews. They become the main power of the world. Ucheshechozer Yisrael b'tshuva v'nigalin, when the Jews do tshuva and we are redeemed, koshalo la'abed ovdei kochavim b'pnei Yisrael. It's difficult for Hashem, so to speak, to destroy the non-Jews in favor of the Jews. Very shocking. What does that mean? That Hashem, so to speak, it's difficult for him to reinstate us where we should be, even though we're doing tshuva, we deserve to be redeemed, but it's difficult for Hashem to do so, because the non-Jews, apparently in their position, weren't doing such a bad job. So if you replace somebody had a position and was replaced, and the replacement is doing a decent job, even though the original person is now back in action, it's difficult to simply dismiss the one who was doing the backup work, so to speak. So how do we apply that? What does that mean? Does Hashem not want us to be back where we should be? Of course he does. Does Hashem not love us? Of course he loves us. Does Hashem not prefer us? Of course he prefers us. But the problem is that when we spend so much time in Galus and the order of the world has been reversed for so much time, then it's difficult to see the difference between us and them. And part of the reason for Chevlei Mashiach, it seems to me, is to highlight the differences between us and them. It's to give a chance for us to shine, to show our strength, to show who we are, to show that we deserve to be the leaders of the world, that we deserve to be the ones who are close to Hashem, back in Eretz Yisrael, with a king, the way things should be, and directing the way things ought to be, and directing the world to serving Hashem. That it should be, because we rise to the occasion. When things are easy and complacent, it's difficult to show one's mesiras nefesh, to show one's self-sacrifice. Of course, one can, and one should. However, it's difficult to do it when things are pleasant and easy. When things are difficult, when there's hardships, that's when people have to rise to the occasion. And when there's a tzara, when there's something that is dangerous or hard or difficult, then we can shine. And we do shine. And that can distinguish us from everybody else. The Gemara tells us, also in Maseches Sanhedrin earlier, the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer says Mashiach will only come when we do tshuva. Rabbi Yoshua asks Rabbi Eliezer, and what if, God forbid, the Jews don't do tshuva? Does that mean Mashiach will never come? So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'abed lahem melech, Hashem puts up a king, shegzerosav koshos kehaman, that his decrees are bad or difficult like Haman, v'Yisrael osin tshuva, and the Jews do tshuva, umachziran lamutav, and that brings us Jews back to where we're supposed to be. There's nothing like a crisis that makes a person focus and think about where they should be and brings out what we need to be. And as much as, again, I reiterate, I'm not interested in this crisis or any crisis any more than anybody else is. I much prefer, as well as everybody else prefers, that things be pleasant and easy and nice. But the fact of the matter is, we have to admit that when things get tough, that does bring out people's strengths. And we can and will rise to the occasion. And that highlights why Mashiach should come and why we should be reinstated where we belong in Eretz Yisrael with a king, with the Beis HaMikdash, in front and center serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which brings us to the third reason for Chevli Mashiach, it seems to me. There is a well-known Rambam. The Rambam, at the very end of the Yara Chazaka, the very end of the Rambam, the last two halachos of the Rambam, he says as follows. Lonis abua chachamim v'anevim yamos ha-mashiach. The wise people and the prophets, they didn't desire the days of Mashiach. Lo kedei sheyishletu al kol ha'olam, not so that they should rule over the whole world. V'lo kedei sheyirdu ba'akum, not so that they should be able to subjugate the non-Jews. V'lo kedei sheyinasu osam ha'amim, and not so that the nations of the world should hold them up in great esteem. That's not why. V'lo kedei lecho v'lishtos v'lismach, and not in order to eat and drink and be happy. So why did they hope for the days of Mashiach? So that they should be able to focus and be free for Torah and its wisdom. And there will not be anybody who is subjugating them and keeping them from focusing on Torah. Why do they want to be focused on Torah? In order that they should merit in the world to come. Like we explained in Hilchos Tshuva. Uba'oso hazman, and in that time when Mashiach comes, lo yesham lo ra'av v'lo milchama, there will not be any famine, there won't be any war, v'lo kina v'sachros, there will not be any jealousy, there won't be any competition. Sha'atova tia mushpa'as harbe, there will be an incredible shefa of tova, there will be an incredible pouring out of goodness. And all of the pleasures will be found, will be available like dust. And there will not be any involvement for anybody in the world, only to know Hashem. That will be everybody's focus. Therefore the Jews will be great wise men. And they'll know things that are hidden. And they will achieve the knowledge of their creator as much as a human being can. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Kimala Haaretz Dea es Hashem, Kamayim Ayam Echasim, like the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, that the world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem like the water fills up the oceans. That is the end of the Yad HaChazaka, the end of the Rambam. I mentioned this also in the previous week. Most of you heard this from me, that even though the Rambam is the one who is always quoted correctly as saying that the coming of Mashiach does not necessarily include miracles, and that Olam Kiminhago Nohig, the world will go in its regular way, people mistaken that to think that, yes, the world will go as in its regular way, meaning, yeah, Mashiach will come, and we'll still have all the things we're used to. There'll be all kinds of athletic events that we could follow, and if we wish, we could go to Disney if we want to. There'll be all kinds of other forms of entertainment and things of that nature going on. It's not true. The Rambam himself says it's not true. When Mashiach comes, the entire world will be focused on one single thing, and that is get to know Hashem better. That will be the single focus of everyone. We will be leading the way, but that's what it will be all about. Nothing else. Nothing else will matter. Nothing else will be important. Nothing else will be relevant. All that will matter will be to know Hashem, and there will be incredible knowledge of Hashem. That is what the coming of Mashiach is going to bring. The Chevli Mashiach, it seems to me, are a preparatory phase in the coming of Mashiach, because let's face it, when the world is running smoothly and easily, the way it was just a month ago, the way we were, everybody, most people, I shouldn't say everybody, I'll include myself, maybe not everybody, but certainly I'm included in this category, we focus a significant portion of our brains, of our attention span on things that are at best meaningless and worthless and just a distraction and a waste of time. At worst, those things are prohibited. But at best, they're a distraction. They're not God-focused. They're not spiritual-focused. They're just entertainment for the sake of entertainment. Not entertainment for the sake of recharging batteries, but entertainment for the sake of entertainment. And just fun and without any sense of why it's being done. It's just a pursuit. And that's the way human beings are. And we live in a culture that champions and values entertainment and distraction. And the coming of Mashiach is a sea change. The coming of Mashiach completely turns that on its head. It means that the world will be completely focused on nothing but important things, nothing but Hashem, His Torah, wisdom, knowing Hashem. That's all. Nothing else is going to matter. Will there still be working for a living, parnasa? Perhaps. Perhaps the world will continue in those things, but everything will become secondary and the only focus is going to be trying to get closer to Hashem. Chevle Mashiach, even if what we are in is Chevle Mashiach, and compared to all the things the Gemara was saying, what we're in right now at this given moment is fairly mild. Who knows what it's going to turn into, God forbid. But the way things are right now, nevertheless, think about how much more serious everybody is, how much more focused everybody is, how much the entertainment world has faded into the background. As I've mentioned to most of you, even though most of you are women, the for men for sure this is true, the obliteration of the world of athletics, the world of sports, is an unbelievable thing. It's something that most men in the United States spend dozens and dozens of hours per week focused on, and it's obliterated, it's gone. And that's true for many other things as well. That is a prelude to Mashiach. How is that time filled? What does one do with that time? Does one seek out another form of distraction? Does one look for something to watch or something to play? Is that what one does? Or does one use the newfound time? We don't want this extra time. We want life to go back to quote unquote normal. But the fact of the matter is, there's time. What does one do with that extra time, with the other pursuits obliterated, no longer able to be done? And the answer, of course, is one has to dedicate that time to Hashem, to seeking out Hashem, focusing on Hashem, and trying to get closer to Hashem. So to sum up, and then to apply it, the three reasons that I'm offering for why we need Chevle Mashiach. One is to accentuate the need for Mashiach, that we should want and hope for and pine for Mashiach. That's one. Two is to bring out the best in all of us, that we can be pushed further where we don't necessarily like to be pushed, but pushed to our limits and to the point where we can display our real dedication to Hashem, our Mesiras Nefesh, so that we can display and demonstrate why we deserve for Mashiach to come. And finally, to refocus us, everybody, on what's important in life, to reboot and make life important again. Are we in Chevle Mashiach? Is this Chevle Mashiach? Truth be told, I hope so, because who would want to go through this if it isn't for Chevle Mashiach? Why should we go through such a terrible time and it not be directly Chevle Mashiach? So of course, I hope it is. I'm sure you hope it is. We can all daven that this should be the first step in the coming of Mashiach, and that Mashiach come here and be here quickly, and that the tzaros end, and that we become close to Hashem and able to focus on Hashem. And if it is Chevle Mashiach, then these three things certainly need to be on our minds, because they are the reasons for Chevle Mashiach, it seems to me. But even if they're not, this is not officially Chevli Mashiach. Still, one will have to admit that something of this nature brings about the same three results of Chevli Mashiach. This brings about that one waits for Mashiach. It brings about that one rises to the occasion, and it brings about the focus on Hashem. And so even if it's not officially Chevli Mashiach, this, we can make it something that brings about Mashiach. We can make it something that brings Mashiach much, much, much closer by making sure that we respond in the ways that Chevli Mashiach are meant to make us respond. Which brings us to the final point. The Gemara says, what should you do to save yourself from Chevli Mashiach? We mentioned before. One is Yasok B'Torah. Be involved in Torah and loving kindness. Well, of course, I mean, that's true about everything, about everybody. What else does, what does that not do? It's all good. There's nothing bad about that. So what does it mean that it saves from Chevli Mashiach? And the answer, it seems to me, is that when one is osek, is involved, is obsessed with Torah and with Gemilus Chasadim, with Torah itself and with taking care of each other. When one does that, then one can also have the same three results of Chevli Mashiach. One can wait for Mashiach because when one is involved in Torah and Chesed, then one is already realizing the importance of being close to Hashem and wanting to be closer to Hashem. And one waits for Mashiach and one rises to the occasion and one focuses on what is important. What about Shalosh Shuris? What about the three meals? How is that saving Chevli Mashiach? How is that the same thing? How is it that engaging in that accomplishes what Chevli Mashiach accomplishes? And if we accomplish what Chevli Mashiach accomplishes, then we don't need to have Chevli Mashiach because we're already there. How does Shalosh Shuris do that? And it seems to me the answer is as follows. Shalosh Shuris is meant to be an enjoyable thing. You see, we're used to having an abundance, Baruch Hashem, a lot of food, a lot to eat. But really, the way Shalosh Shuris works is that all week, one typically has, and this was true until modern times, one typically has two meals per day. There's a morning meal and an evening meal. And on Shabbos, we are treated to three meals. Now the three meals start at night, so you have Friday night, Shabbos day, Shabbos afternoon. But it's three meals because then there's another meal on Matzai Shabbos, which is Malava Malka, which is the evening meal of that day of Shabbos. So you have three full meals. That's what you have. And it's supposed to be special and different. That's beautiful to have extra on Shabbos, to have more on Shabbos. That's a wonderful thing. And to enjoy Shabbos. That's great. But that also means that one has decided to use the goodness that Hashem has given them, the blessings Hashem has given them, the materialism Hashem has given them for the mitzvah of beautifying Shabbos. That's what it means to be careful with Shalosh Seudos. As we said, it doesn't only mean to eat the third meal. It means to eat all three meals according to the halacha, according to the way you're supposed to. And that means that we are focusing the pleasures of life. Eating is an incredible pleasure of life. The pleasures of life, the bracha that Hashem has given us, we're focusing it on Shabbos, on a mitzvah. We're saying, Hashem, you've given us so much. We're not going to indulge for ourselves. We're going to indulge because you told us to. We're going to indulge when you tell us to indulge. And it's going to be a mitzvah for us to indulge. And when one does that, then one is dedicating everything to Hashem. As we said, when things are good and pleasant and complacent, it's hard to wait for Mashiach. It's hard to focus on what's right. It's hard to rise to the occasion. But if one takes all the brachos Hashem has given them, all the wealth, all the wonderful things, and says, I'm going to dedicate this to Hashem, then one can, even when things are pleasant and good and easy, one can accomplish what Chevlei Mashiach accomplishes. One can accomplish all three things. One can wait for Mashiach. One can rise to the occasion and do what's necessary and do what's right and rise above themselves. And one can be focused almost exclusively or exclusively on Hashem and His Torah and getting close to Him. We want this Sara to end as quickly as possible. We want life to go back to the way it was. I don't know if it's possible for life to go back to the way it was. I don't think that it will ever go back to the way it was. Just as it with 9/11, things were never the same afterwards. I don't think it's possible things will be the same here afterwards. It's too much of an upheaval to believe that. But we certainly want things to get easier and more pleasant. That's for sure. The one way to merit that, perhaps, is to focus on these three things. Because if these three things are what this tzara is meant to bring out, if we can get to a point where we can focus on these three things, even without a tzara, then the tzara isn't necessary anymore. Then Hashem can give us all the abundance, all the blessings, with no troubles, because it's not needed. The trouble isn't necessary, because we're there, because we are doing what we need to do. And so we will end with reiterating the three things that we're looking to gain, to grow from in this terrible tzara that we're in. And we're going to end with the bracha that we achieve these things. And they are that we should wait for Mashiach, really wait for Mashiach, that we should rise above ourselves, push ourselves beyond where we are, to try to reach greatness in all areas, both between us and Hashem with His Torah and between us and our fellow Jew with Gemilus Chasadim, with kindness. And finally, that we become focused on Hashem, we pull away from all those things that we waste our time with and waste our focus on, and we focus solely on Hashem. Hashem should give us a bracha that, first of all, we should be protected, that everybody should be safe, there should be nobody should get hurt, nobody should be sick, we should all be healthy, every Jew should be protected. And number two, that Hashem should bring the end to this tzara, and it should be replaced with the coming of Mashiach b'mehera v'yameinu. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.